Begin the current daf Maseches Yuma, daf Pei Gimel. Begin on the second line from the top of the Ovid, where the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. That is, our Mishnah spoke about different exceptions to the Isser of eating and violating the affliction, the Ino of Yom Kippurim, which includes one of the five is eating. So on that, the Mishnah told us that regarding a chayla, if someone is ill, machila noisei al pibekin, that if professionals, if doctors say he has to eat, then we allow that person to eat on Yom Kippur because of the danger to the person's life. Now, the Gemara clarifies and elaborates on this halacha regarding when do we say, who do we believe, who do we follow regarding if this person, this patient, has to eat on Yom Kippur. So Amar Rabbi Yannai says, Chayla amay tzarech. Let's say the ill person says, I need to eat. I need this. It's a danger to his life. The doctor says he doesn't need to. It will not be fatal to the person if he doesn't eat on Yom Kippur. What's the halacha? So Biani says, Shemin l'chayla, we listen to the ill person. My time, what's the reason? The doctor, he knows medicine, he says not. That the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Lev yodea moris nafshei. The person's heart knows the bitterness of his soul, which means to say that no one can know but the person himself, the patient himself, how much he really needs to eat. And if he says he needs to eat, we follow his word against the word of the doctor and we let him eat in Yom Kippur. The Gemara's pshita is pretty obvious. How could the doctor know more than the person himself what he's experiencing? If he says he needs to eat or else he's going to die, well, of course we should give him to eat. The Gemara says, Mao de tema reifakim leitvei. What would we say that the doctor knows better because he knows medicine and he knows what the person's experiencing better than himself? Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush of Rabbi Yannai, that we say that if the person says he needs to eat, we follow him and not the doctor. Another halacha. Reifa amar tzarech. Let's say the doctor says that he needs to eat. It's dangerous if he doesn't eat. The sick person says, I don't need, I'm telling you I can fast Yom Kippur, it's okay, nothing will happen to me. And that Rabbi Yannai says, Shemin l'roifi. Here we listen to the doctor and we make the person eat on Yom Kippur. And that the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason? We just said that we trust the person, he knows better how he's feeling. And that the Gemara answers, you're right, generally we would listen to the person. But tun v'hu denoketle, we're concerned that maybe some type of a shtus, a delirium, is taken hold of the patient, of the person, because of his illness. And in this state, he thinks that he's okay and that he can manage through Yom Kippur, but really he cannot. And that's why if the doctor says he has to eat, then he eats. Those are the two halachas of Rabbi Yannai. Now the Gemara asks on both of these dinim of Rabbi Yannai from our Mishnah. Now we learned in our Mishnah, which we just quoted before in the Gemara, Chayla, regarding an ill person, Machila Noisei Al Pi Bekin. We give him to eat on Yom Kippur if the professionals, if the doctors say he has to eat. Now, the inference, both, there are two inferences, and both will be difficult on Yannai's two halachas. The inference is, Al Pi Bekin in, that if the doctors, the professionals say he has to eat, yes, then you're allowed to violate the inui of not eating on Yom Kippur. But the Diyuk is, the inference is, Al Pi Atzmei Loi. But based on his own statements, we don't allow him to violate, which that goes against what Rabbi Yannai's first halacha was, that if the doctor says he doesn't need and he says he does need, that we listen to him. Another inference is al pi bekiyin in. It says in the plural that if doctors, professionals, in the plural that there's two, if they say he has to eat, then we listen. Al pi baki echaloi, but if one doctor says that's not enough, we will not feed him based on that. Now that contradicts both of Rabbi Yannai's halachas, because the second halacha was, if the person says, I don't need, but one doctor says he does, we listen to him, but the Mishnah tells us, Bikiyin, professionals, not one professional, which sounds like you have to have at least two doctors saying he needs it. So therefore, our Mishnah seems to contradict from that one statement, both of Rabbi Yannai's halachas. That the Gemara answers then, no. Hachamayaskinan, our Mishnah is talking about a specific case, and that's why it says it in that. In other words, it's really not contradictory to Rabbi halachas. But our Mishnah is talking about the Amar, that the patient says, Loi tzrichna. He's saying, I don't need to eat. I'm okay. I can fast Yom Kippur. Now, on that, our Mishnah is telling you that we listen to the doctors and that we don't listen to the patient. And therefore, it has nothing to do with the cases that Rabbi Yannai was talking about. Truthfully, regarding if the patient says, I need to eat, the Mishnah would agree that we let him. We don't need the professionals. It's only told in the case when he's saying, I don't need. The doctor says, you do need, that then we listen to the Bekin and we feed him, even though he says he doesn't need. But then the Gemara asks, but what's with Rabbi Yannai's second halacha? Velis v'lei al pi baki, but however we should let him eat based on just what one doctor says, because Rabbi Yannai in his second halacha said that if he says I don't need and one doctor says that you do need, then we listen to the doctor. Why does it say in the Lashon of our Mishnah, Bekiyin, a pluralistic definition of at least two doctors? That the Gemara answers, Loi tzricha, Again, it's still not a contradiction in Rabbi Yana, even his second halacha, because our Mishnah is talking about de'ik achrine bahadei. There's another doctor with the patient, the Amal Leitzach, that says, you know what, he doesn't need to eat. He'll be able to fast just fine, and it won't be a danger to his life. That's why our Mishnah says that if there are two doctors that say he does need to eat, and you have the patient and another doctor with him that say he doesn't need to, that we listen to the two doctors that say he needs to. And therefore, it doesn't contradict Rabbi Yana's halachas. If it's just the patient against the doctor, and the patient says, I need to eat, and the doctor says he doesn't, we listen to the patient and he eats. If the doctor says he needs to, and the patient says, I don't need to, we listen to the doctor. Like both Rabbi Yana's halachas. Our Mishnah says that we listen to the doctors, two doctors, and only in such a case, is talking about when he's saying, I don't need to, and he actually has another doctor with him, and then we have two doctors saying you need to, then we listen to the two doctors that say that he has to eat. Now the Gemara asks on that. Now that comes out, that this halacha that our Mishnah said, mechilin oisei api bekiyin, right? So that's what comes out, that we give him to eat based on, again, the way the Gemara is answering for Rabbi Yana, is that when there's the two, which means to say the patient himself and the doctor that say he doesn't need to eat, and the two doctors, the two Bekiyin, the two doctors that say he needs to eat, the Gemara asks, Pshita, why do we need that Mishnah to tell us that halacha, that then we're going to listen to the two doctors who say he has to eat? It's pretty obvious. Because the case you just described for us is Safek Nefashasu. There's a doubt of the person's life if it's in danger. Because you're saying that why is it a Safek? It's a doubt. Because you have two people. One is the patient with the doctor who's saying he doesn't need to eat. And then you have two on the other side to even out this doubt that say two doctors say he has to eat. Now we know v'safek nefash l'hakel. We know that when there's a doubt regarding a person's life, we go lenient. And of course the person is going to eat. So why do we need the Mishnah to tell us a specific halacha regarding this case that we listen to Bekiyin, but the way you just described it, it's a regular classic Safek Nefashos, and of course we know the Hakel. Why would they need the Mishnah to tell us that? I think our answer is Leitzricha. No. There's another component to this case which will clarify what the Mishnah is talking about, why we have to say the Chiddush of this Halacha, and it will not be a contradiction to Rabbi Yana's two Halachas. Because we're talking about the Ikka Trei Achrin Bahadei. There's not just the patient who says, I don't need to eat. He actually has two other doctors with him saying he doesn't have to eat. The Amri Leitzach, that they say he doesn't have to. So now we have three who say he doesn't have to eat, and only two doctors who say he has to eat, because you have the patient who's counted, he's counted as somebody, with two doctors, that's three against two doctors say he has to. And that the Mishnah is telling us, that Be'afa gav d'am Rav Safra. Now, although Rav Safra taught regarding this, Rabbanan had said elsewhere, that Trei Kameyu Umeika Trei, once we get to a plural, once we get to two, there's no difference between 2 and 100 or 102. It's the same thing. When you have two different parties, one party saying one side, another party saying another side, we don't care if one party has 30, another party has 50, or if one has 2 and another one has 100, as long as it's not an individual versus a rabbin, it doesn't make a difference what the numbers are. We look at them as the same. Now, on that, Rav Safra clarified, Hanami le'inya edus. We only said this halacha that 2 is the same as 100 when it comes to the halachas of saying testimony, witnesses, that there's no difference if one group of witnesses that says they have two people and are saying one thing and the opposing side are saying the opposite, which are 100, they're the same thing. They're both groups of witnesses. Now, that Rav Safra said that was only said regarding edus. Avle inyan umdinam, but regarding assessments, that buster deis aslina, that we go in respect to the differences of opinions, how many people there are. And that it would make a difference if there's one group that's 39, the other one's 38, that will make the difference. The 39 will win the 38. That because the halach of Trei Kameh is only by witnesses. Now on that is what our Mishnah is teaching us, that when did we say, regards to everything else besides witnesses, it will make a difference. We'll go according to the amount of opinions there are. And 39, let's say, for example, would be better than 38. Now, that is what our Mishnah is teaching us, that that was only said regarding assessments related to monetary purposes. For example, if let's say we're assessing the obligations that someone has to his creditor, with a debtor and the creditor, that we say that assessment, if there's one party saying one way and another party saying another way, will go according to the one that has the more numbers, the higher numbers, that will win the other one. But regarding the umdina, an assessment of a sick person, although that we have the majority saying he doesn't have to eat, which we're saying there's three people, the patient with two doctors with him, However, since there are two doctors that say he has to eat, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, that's suffik nefashasu, because ultimately it's still a doubt related to a person's life, and therefore we go leniently, and that was the purpose of the chiddush of our Mishnah. So again, it's not a contradiction to Rabbi Yannai. Rabbi Yannai is correct that if there's a patient versus a doctor, we will always listen to the one who says you have to eat, whether it be the patient because of levi demaras nafshi, or the doctor because maybe the person is a little delirious based on his condition. So you always listen to the one who says you have to eat. Our mission that says that it's only that you listen to two doctors, which sounds like that not to one doctor and not to the patient, that's only in the case when you have these two doctors who are saying he has to eat, who are opposing three people, one is the patient and two doctors, who say he doesn't have to eat, and yet the chiddush of the Mishnah is saying that still you listen to the two doctors that say you have to eat, in spite of the fact that the majority, the higher numbers, which generally with umdinness, with assessments, we go with the higher numbers, but that's only that our Mishnah is teaching us, only regarding dini mamonis, but regarding a person's life, we don't go after numbers, and if there's even a slight possibility that creates a suffix, because two doctors say you have to, we'll follow the two doctors, and not the three opinions that say he doesn't have to eat. Now, the Gemara asks as follows, but v'homadik tani seifa, but look at the end of our Mishnah, where we quoted now the statement that says that if regarding a sick person, we're going to give him to eat based on bikiyin, which we're explaining now means to say the opinion of two doctors who say he has to eat. But however, the Mishnah then continues and says, v'im ein sham bikiyin, if there are no professionals, there are no doctors to ask, and here's this person that looks like this might be a challenge for him fasting on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah tells us, then machil nois al piyasme. Then we will give him to eat based on his own testimony, what he says he has to eat. Now, machlal, the Gemara asks, the inference is, the ratio that the first part of the statement of the Mishnah that we were just discussing regarding that machil nois al pibakiyin is the amat tzarech. It sounds like that's also talking about a case where he says he has to eat. And yet, that will not come out the way we're trying to explain, to answer for Rabbi Yannai that we said that, oh, it's not a difficulty according to Rabbi Yannai. If the person says he has to eat, then we're going to listen to him. The only thing is that we're talking about when he says he doesn't have to eat with two doctors, and there's two doctors say he has to eat, then we follow the bikin. Now, however, it sounds like from the Mishnah that, as Tosis explains, it sounds like that it's one case, it's one run-on case that we try to, if we're going to have someone eating on Yom Kippur, we try to have it done through professionals, through doctors, and we don't want to rely on the testimony of the ill person himself. Now, that will work if there's doctors. That is what the Mishnah continues. However, if there's no doctors, then we're going to listen to the patient because there's no alternative. However, but that sounds like that most definitely, if there's a professional doctor who says he doesn't have to eat, he'll be okay, and the sick person says he has to eat, sounds like most definitely that in such a case, we won't rely on the patient to then negate what the doctor's saying. And therefore, it comes out that when the Mishnah is saying, "Alpi bikiyin in," that yes, it's only by professionals, that we don't listen to the patient who, for sure not, when he's negating what the doctor says. And therefore, that contradicts what Rabbi Yannai had said. Rabbi Yannai said that we do listen to the patient in the place where the doctor is saying he doesn't have to, and the patient says he has to, that we listen to him. But however, if you follow the theme of the Mishnah, it sounds like that we feed him based on doctors. Now, it says if there's no doctors, then we're going to listen to him, which sounds like that even in the case when he says he needs to, the Rish has also told me that he says he needs to, still we don't follow him. We want to hear from professionals that say he has to. Now, if that's the case, most definitely when the doctor says he doesn't have to, and he's saying he has to, that we don't believe him. That's not like Rabbi Yannai, and therefore we cannot resolve it the way we said it before, that the Rish is talking about a whole different type of case where really the patient's saying he doesn't need to, and he has two other doctors helping him, and there's two doctors saying that he has to. That's the case, because if you follow the next case of the Mishnah, which follows up on it, sounds like that all along he was saying he needs to. And just that when we don't want to listen to him until we hear from doctors, if there's no doctors, we have no alternative, then we listen to him. And therefore, that's not like what we said originally, that we would follow him based on if he said he had to. And that the Gemara answers, Chasuri Mechser of Hachiktani. No, it's not a contradiction to Rabbi Yannai, because actually there are words missing from our Mishnah, and it has to be read as follows. When did we say this? Which you're right, it sounds like from the beginning of our Mishnah that we're only going to feed him based on professionals, that we need to have professionals. When was that said? That was like we explained before, where the patient is saying, I don't need to eat, and then that the doctors are saying he has to eat. Then we say that we're going to make him eat And that's because, like we said before, even when it's one doctor that's in that's opposing the patient, we say that maybe the patient has tunva, maybe he has delirium. So then we would have to, we would follow the doctors. But if the patient says, I do need to eat, then this is what the Seifa of the Mishnah is saying, that then if there are no two doctors opposing him that say he doesn't have to eat, rather the inference is but that you only have one doctor opposing him that says he doesn't have to eat, then like that's exactly what Gribiani said, that you give him to eat based on his own testimony, where like Rabbi Yonah says, that we listen to the chayla when the chayla says he has to eat, and the doctor is saying he doesn't have to eat. But that's exactly like Rabbi Yonah said. It's only when he's opposing one doctor. If the patient says he has to, and two doctors say he doesn't have to, then the Mishnah is saying that we don't listen to him. But what we're saying is that if there's no bekin, what do we mean no bekin? There's no bekin opposing him when he says he has to eat. Because we're putting in this Bamed v'mamurim, you're right, the beginning of the Mishnah was talking about one type of a case. But that was talking about when he says he doesn't have to eat. And you're right, although the Seifa sounds like clearly it's talking about where he has to, that's talking about when it's talking about a different case, where he's saying he has to eat, not like the Reisha, which, as we explained before, was talking about where he says he doesn't have to eat, but rather he's saying, I have to eat, and there's no two doctors opposing him, but one doctor, then we listen to him exactly like Rabbi Yonah had said. So that's one way of defining the quotes of the Mishnah. Again, based on what Rabbi Yonah had said, the first statement, which our Gemara opened up with, that Machil Nois HaPibakin is only talking about you need two doctors that say he has to eat only when there's three opinions saying you don't have to. And the Sefer, which says that if there's no Bekin, then we give him to eat based on himself, is when there's no Bekin opposing him, meaning there's no two doctors, only one doctor opposing him, then we'll follow the patient who says he has to eat. However, Mabar Avashi Amar, he says that the Sefer that we just came to explain, we should not define the way we just explained, that it's talking about where he says he has to eat, and that there's two doctors who say he doesn't have to eat, that if there would be two doctors, actually we wouldn't listen to him, and it's only that we're saying, like Rabbi Yonah, but if there's only one doctor, then we do. On that, Mabar Avashi is saying that's not the case. Rather, El Kol Hecha Da Amat Tzarchani, rather, wherever he says that I need to eat, even if there's 100 doctors that say he doesn't have to eat, we listen to him. Shenema, like the Pasuk says, the person's own heart knows his soul, he knows what he's experiencing, and if he's feeling like he's going to die, then we listen to him, even if 100 doctors say he doesn't have to eat. Now, on that the Gemara asked, but Tnan, we learned in the Seif of our Mishnah, which was what we were, what it sounds like, not like what my Rabbi was just saying, like we just explained the Gemara. It says, im ein sham bekiyin, if there's no two doctors, then machil nois ha-piyatzmi, then we give him to eat by himself. Now, it sounds like time adaleka bekiyin, like the Gemara had explained before, that yes, if there's no two doctors, then we give him to eat. Ha-ikka bekiyin lo'i, but it sounds like if there's two doctors saying that he doesn't have to eat, and therefore he shouldn't, if he doesn't have to, it's im kippah. And there's only the one patient who says he has to eat, that we don't listen to him. That's not like with the way Mabar Avashi just said, that we always believe the patient. Now the Gemara says, similar like we said before, you have to insert a Bamed v'mamur. When was this talking about? In other words, when did we say that we only feed him based on doctors? That's the Amaloy Tzarchani. As we explained before, when he says, I don't need, then we said that the doctors believed because of we're concerned about what's going on over here with the patient. We believe him to require him to eat. However, Abul Amat Sarachani, but if he says, I need to eat, the way he defines the Ein Sham Bekiyin is a whole different way. He defines it as Ein Sham Bekiyin Klal, and that is basically what he's saying is, we don't care about their proficiency. When it says, although before the Gemara was defining of that in Ein Sham Bekiyin, if there's no doctors, then we list him, sounds like the way the Gemara had previously said, but if there's two doctors, we don't listen to him. If there's no two doctors, only one doctor, then we listen to him. We'll believe him to eat in the place of one doctor says he doesn't have to eat. Now, however, Mabar Avashi is saying that we always believe him, even if there's Bekiyim. So how do we understand the safest statement? So he says, he means that he learns this terminology of the Mishnah, that if there's no Bekiyim, what does that mean? If we don't consider their Bekiyis, we don't care about their proficiency at all, when is that? That's when he says that I need, when the patient's saying that I need to eat, and then machil nois ha-piyatzmi, then we'll feed him based on his own testimony, in spite of the 100 doctors saying he doesn't have to eat. Shenema, like the Pasuk says, lev yudea moras nafshei. The person's own heart knows his experience that he's experiencing inside, and therefore if he says he has to eat, Even if 100 doctors say he doesn't have to eat, we give him to eat. And that's how he defines that ain shum bikin. If there's no bikin, what does that mean? It means to say if we don't consider them, we don't care with all your titles and all your understanding of science and medicine, ain shum bikin. We don't care about your proficiency and machin lo yisal pi atzmo. We give him to eat based on his own testimony. That's how Ma'ariv Rav Ashi defines. So that's the machlokes that comes out how to understand the idea of the seifa regarding the reisha. Everyone agrees it has to be a specific type of a case when we're talking about. He says I don't need to eat. And in spite of that, although we generally will listen to the majority, that's how we explained for Rabbi Yannai, the case of the Reisha is talking about, we'll follow the two doctors to say he has to eat, because of the Sakanas Nefashas, we go Lahakil, even though we go usually Basa Umdina, in the case of life-threatening, we don't. Regarding the Seif, we have Machlekes, how to understand, what does it mean, the Main Shem Bikin, then we give him to eat Al Pi Atzmai. One opinion says that that's only the case of when there's one doctor against the patient, then we'll believe the patient, like Rabbi Yannai said. But if there's two doctors saying that he doesn't have to eat, we won't believe him. That's what means in ancient Bikin, the Mechil Nas Peasmai. Rabbi Rav Ashi says that no, it means ancient Bikin. We don't care about him, Klal. We don't care about 100 doctors, 1,000 doctors. Mechil Nas Peasmai, we always feed him based on what he says if he needs to eat. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme about certain heterim in certain cases to eat things that are forbidden to a person, which before we were speaking about eating on Yom Kippur. Now we continue in general certain heterim for life-threatening situations for a person to eat things that are forbidden. So the Mishnah tells us, Misha achazai bulmus. If someone has this illness of bulmus that has taken hold of him, which this is a sickness that comes because of hunger, then the person's eyes become dimmed and he's in danger of his life. However, when his vision comes back, then we know that he was healed. So therefore, someone that has this condition that has taken hold of him, mechil nosay, we give him to eat, afil dvarm tmeim, even things that are not kosher, until his eyes light up again, until we see that the spark of life is back inside of him, because if not, he's in danger of his life. Misha nashchay kelev shayt, if someone that has a mad dog that has bitten him, which the Gemara will explain what this is, ein mechil nosay mechatzer kavet shayt, we don't give that victim to eat from the liver lobe of that dog. And that is, although that doctors generally would treat people with that condition by healing in such a way, it's not a completely tested and scientifically proven type of a healing process to permit somebody to eat something that is treif, that's not kosher. And therefore, although we allow, as was just explained, for somebody that is in a certain dangerous position to eat things that are not kosher, however, since this is not medically proven to work, although that's what doctors usually do, therefore we don't allow that to be done for someone to eat non-kosher based on this speculation that of this healing type of a process. However, Rabbi Masi ben Charash Mata, he permits the person that was bitten by the mad dog to eat its liver lobe. And the reason is because he holds that it is a full-fledged healing process that we know that works, and therefore it's allowed to be done. Now the Mishnah continues, Va'id Amar Masi ben Charash, he also said, regarding this arena of halacha, that hacheshish begroin, if someone has his throat that's hurting him, and as the Gemara will explain, it's a certain type of illness that's dangerous, matil noisam b'toich piv b'shabbos, we put medicine in his mouth on Shabbos, neshu sakon safag nefashis, it's a doubt that it might be dangerous to a person's life, b'chol safag nefashis teichas Shabbos, any doubt of danger to a person's life pushes aside the violation of doing malach on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah continues, Misha nafal of Mapilis. If there was an individual that a pile of rubble, a building collapsed on this person. Now, there's many doubts. Safek hu sham, we're not even sure if he's there. Safek enisham, maybe he's not there. Another doubt, Safek chai, Safek mace, maybe he's alive, maybe he's not alive. Safek kuti, Safek yisrael, we don't know if he's Jewish. Maybe he's a kuti, maybe he's a Jew. In all situations, mefakhim lav as a gal, we have to dig out the person from under the pile of rubble, because of the doubt that maybe there's a Jew that's alive that was there. Now, Matsu'u Chai, if we find that he's alive, Mefakhin, we dig him out, even if he's only going to live a short while later, for that precious moments of life, we are Mechal Shabbos. V'meis, if he's dead already, then Yechu, you leave him, there's no heter to be Mechal Shabbos to dig him out. Now, the Gemara quotes regarding the topic that the Mishnah began with, regarding this illness of bulmus, so Tambon Melina Braisa. Minayin hayu yoydin she'ireinu. The Mishnah qualified and said that we're allowed to feed him treif, things that are not kosher, until his eyes light up. So the Braisa asks, from when do you know that his eyes have lit up? How do you know that? You see just a spark in his eye? What does that mean? So the Braisa says, Mishayavchin bein toiv l'ra, when the person can discern between good and bad. Now, Omabai qualifies that he says it means ubetaima, regarding taste, meaning from when the person that was taken ill, when he could differentiate between something that tastes good and something that doesn't taste good, then you know that he's ready back to himself, and then you don't have to feed him things that are not kosher anymore. Talking about Lin Labraisa. Misha Achzai Bulmas, someone that has this Bulmas that has taken hold of him. Now, if we don't have things that are kosher to feed him that's enough to restore his health, but there are things that are forbidden, that are not kosher in front of us, so Machil Noise HaKalkal, when we give him to eat, even the things that are not permitted to eat, we give him the most lenient prohibitions first. We don't want to give him the things that are most stringent, the most chomer type of Yisroel. We give him the most lenient first. For example, Tevel and Nevela, let's say you have untithed produce, and you have a dead animal carcass. Machil Nois and Nevela, we give him to eat the dead animal carcass, because that's just a law of a negative prohibition, whereas Tevel is Chiv Misim and Hashemayim. Let's say Tevel v'Shvias. Let's say there's untithed produce, and is produce from the Shemitah year. So then you give him to eat Shvias, produce from the Shemitah year, which is, although it's after what's called the Zman Habir, which you have to get rid of it, you're not allowed to keep it in the house and use it. The reason is because Tevel is Misim B'dei Shemayim. Violating the prohibition of eating the Shemitah produce is only a positive commandment, so we do the lesser of them, which is Shvias. However, Tevel u'Truma, let's say you have untithed produce, and you have Truma, which is when you tithe, that when you take the Truma for the Kayan, you have that Truma, what do you do in such a case? So on that, the Gemara says, Tanohi, that's a Machlokes Tanoim, which one is the lesser of the two Isurim for the person that has the Bulmas to eat? Tanya, like we learned in Abraisa. The first opinion says, Machil noise tevel, ve'en machil noise truma. We first give him to eat untithed produce, that's the lesser of the two, and then we would give him to eat the truma. We don't want him to eat the truma. Ben Tema Imer, he says, no, truma v'le tevel, we give him to eat truma and not tevel. So Amar Rabbi explains, he says as follows, he says, Heche de'efshir b'chulin, where it's possible to feed the person with the bulmas chulin, and that is, what you have over here, you have two groups of food. You have the truma, which is what was separated already at one point from a tevel, which then allows the other part of the produce to be eaten as chulin, and then the truma is given to the kohen, only allowed to be eaten by kohen. And then you have a group of tevel, which is untithed produce, which no one's allowed to eat, until you go ahead and take off the truma samaisis, and then the rest becomes chulin unconsecrated, which could be eaten by anybody. So now, he explains as follows. He says, if this tevel has enough in it where you could separate the truma from it, and then afterwards you'll have enough chulin for the person to calm down from his bulmas, oh, so then everyone agrees to kuli amali pligi. No one would argue the mesakninle umesafinle, that you would first fix it, and that is separate the truma so that there's chulin left over, and to give him to eat the chulin, and not to give him neither the tevel nor the truma. Ki pligi, this whole machlokes was between b'tema and the tanakama b'dulei efshe b'chulin, where it's not feasible with chulin, and that means to say that there wouldn't be enough for him to eat the leftovers, when you took off the truma and just eat the chulin, he'll have to eat that whole entire pile, which would include the truma portion and the chulin portion. So now, therefore, the Tanakhama said, so in such a case where you can't separate and have him eat just chulin, you have him eat the tevel as it is, and don't separate from it truma to give him to eat truma by itself and chulin by itself. Whereas Ben Tema said that no, better first separate truma from it, then give him to eat the truma and the chulin from it, and don't let him eat the tevel as it is. And that is, what you have over here is, forget about having two different piles. Let's say you have just one pile. It's a pile of tevel. You have a choice of the lesser of the two evils, which is, you have tevel. Now, tevel is forbidden. So what you can do is, you could separate truma. Now, you'll separate the truma, and which let's say is like 1/50th of the produce. Then you'll have the rest of it to be chulin, which is permitted to be eaten. However, the case is told me that he's going to have to eat the entire pile either way, because it won't be enough. We know he'll have to eat the entire pile to calm down from the bulmas. Now, what do we do? Do we have him eat it in the state of tevel and don't do anything to it? Or do we have him separate the truma from it, so it's no more tevel, but now you have chulin, but you also have truma? He's going to be violating that esser. Which one do you do? And that is what the Gemara explains. Mar Savar Ben Tema held tevel chamer. Tevel, untithed produce, is the more stringent of the two Isurim, because even a Kayin is forbidden to eat tevel. No one can eat tevel. So we see that's the more stringent of the two. And therefore he held that let him go ahead and separate Truma and eat the Chulin and the Truma, because Truma is less of an Isurim than tevel. Whereas Umar Sava, the Tanakama, held that no, Truma Chamura. Truma is more stringent than tevel, because there's never a heter for a Yisrael to eat Truma. However, tevel is possible for a Yisrael to eat tevel. How so? By fixing it, taking off truma from it. Then the leftover chulin in that tevel would be permitted for everybody to eat. And therefore we see that essentially tevel is less stringent because there is ways to eat the tevel. And therefore, as the Gemara explains, the machlikis was as follows. Mar savar ben teimahel tevel chamer. Tevel is more stringent because aval truma chazir koyin. However, truma is fit for koyin, at least a koyin could eat it, and therefore we'd rather have separate from this tevel truma, and now you have truma and chulin, and now he's going to eat all of it, so he won't be eating tevel, which is the most stringent, he's going to be eating truma, which is lesser, and the fact how we know is lesser because at least someone can eat it, kayanim can eat it, whereas tevel no one's allowed to eat, and he'll eat the chulin and the truma. Umar sabar, however, the Tanakam held that no, truma chamura. Truma is more stringent for a non-koyin, because aval tevel efshar lesukune, because tevel you could fix by taking off truma, hence what you're eating now is not essentially always usa, because it could be possibly from the chulin part which would be eaten, permitted to be eaten. And therefore this was their machlekes, what to do in such a case. Do you keep it as it is, eat the tevel, or do you first separate it, now make it into two components of chulin and truma, and then eat it, and that would depend on how you view it, which one is the more stringent of the two, and therefore we go with the other one that's lenient, because we always go hakal kal, we always go the more lenient issa first, although we allow the one who has bulmas to eat something forbidden, we'd rather have him eat the less stringent prohibition. Now, the Gemara continues on Amud Beis and asks on Rabba. Now, Rabba said the way he defined this machlokes regarding ben teimah the tanakama, what do you rather have him violate, is it truma or tevel? So the way he conceptualized it, he says, look, he said, efshe b'chulin, he said, if it's possible to then eat it in chulin, how so? When you have this tevel, there is enough to separate truma, and then the leftover chulin would be enough for him to come down from his bulmas, then everyone would agree, you don't want him to eat neither tevel nor truma. Now, that the Gemara is pshita, it's pretty obvious that, of course, it would be enough. You would fix it by taking off the truma and let him eat chulin. Why would there be any opinion that would say that you wouldn't do that? And that Gemara says, Loi tzricha b'Shabbos. The chiddush of Rabba was that even if it's Shabbos, where it's forbidden to do hafrashas truma ma'isa, you're not allowed to take off trumas and ma'isas on Shabbos. Still, we're saying that he should separate on Shabbos and not to have the person that has the bulmas to eat either tevel or the truma. Now, that the Gemara says, b'Shabbos na'ame p'shita. What do you mean? That's also obvious. Because tiltul medrabanan hu, the most that it's going to be, this hafrasha separating trumas and ma'isas on Shabbos, is at most a rabbanan. Now, tevel and truma are both very stringent deraises. So it's pretty obvious that if you would have enough to separate the truma and have the leftover chulin to calm down from his bulmas, everyone would agree. Why did Rabbah have to tell us that? It's only issa drabanan. And that the Gemara says, no, hochmei skina, the chiddush of Rabbah was that be'atzitz she'en enokav, we're actually talking about a case where the pot that it was growing in did not have a hole. Where in such a case, the tevel of that type of produce is only drabanan. It's only rabbinic, because it's not growing from the ground. Produce that's chayiv and halachs of trumas and maises are only things that grow from the ground. Things that grow from a flower pot, a pot that doesn't have a hole, it's not getting unique, it's not growing from the ground, that's only rabbinically required to have trumas and maises. Now, there's two rabbanans over here that are contradicting each other. You have the issa drabanan of separating trumas and maises, which it's drabanan, and then you have only the issa drabanan of eating this tevel, because it's only rabbinic. Now that is what Rab is teaching us, that everyone would agree that we would push aside the issa drabanan of being mafresh trumas and maises, not to have the person eat tevel, even though that's also only rabbinic. Now what would be the reason that both the rabbanan, why would we actively violate the issa of being mafresh the trumas and maises, instead of him violating the other issa drabanan of eating tevel drabanan? The reason is because if we allow him to eat this, although it's tevel drabanan, he might come to eat tevel deraisa, which is a similar type of case because not everyone could differentiate regarding what type of platform did it grow in. Did it grow from the ground, which would make it tevel deraisa, or did it grow in a pot that doesn't have a hole? And therefore, we want to prevent that from ever happening, from eating tevel deraisa. We allow him to violate the rabbinic of separating the trumas and maises and not to even eat the rabbanan of the tevel because it might come to tevel deraisa. Now, so therefore, that was what Rabbi was saying, that everyone would agree in such a case, and that's a huge chiddush because you're violating a Rabbanan for other Rabbanan, but the reason why we do that is because that Rabbanan might ultimately be confused with a Deraisa. The only case that they did argue about was like what we said regarding when the Chulin wouldn't be enough. And that's what we said, that Mar Sava Tevel Chamer, that one opinion said the Tevel is the most stringent, Umar Sava Truma Chamur, and the other one says that Truma is the more chamer again, but if there would be enough from the chulin, everyone would agree that even if it's Shabbos, which would make it Issur Rabbanan, and the tevel itself is only Rabbanan, that we would still violate one Rabbanan for the other Rabbanan. Now, that the Gemara says, Lema, let's say that this chiddush of Rabbo, where he said that where it's possible to go ahead and have chulin in the case of where it's tevel, and we would tell you to separate it, and bidoicha the Issur Rabbanan of separating Trumas and Maisa on Shabbos, even though the entire Isra of Tevel is talking about Atzitz that's not Nakib, which that's Tevel only Drabbanan itself, let's say that Tanoihi, that Halach of Rab is actually totally in the Machlekes Tanoi. The Tanoi, like, learn the Braisa. The Braisa says, Mishin Eshochi Nachash, regarding somebody that a snake bit him. So currently, Raif, we would call a doctor on Shabbos, Mimakum Lamakum, even from a different place. Ubmakaran lo yesa tarn legerlis, and we tear open a hen to then put it on his wound, which that was the way of healing the snake bite. Vegoizn lo yesa kreshin, and we cut off the leak from where it's attached to the ground to give him to eat. Umachil noise, and we give him to eat. Vein tzarach la'asa, we don't even have to take off meiser from this leak that we had detached from the ground. Devar Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon, he argues, lo yoichal atshi aser, this person who was bitten by the snake, although allowed to violate all these things on Shabbos, he shouldn't eat until we take off Maisa first. Now, therefore, the Gemara says, name it. Let's say that this halacha of Rabbah is Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon. He is only like the opinion of Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon, who he said, as we just quoted, that you have to take off Truma on Shabbos, and that we shouldn't feed, which is itself a violation of the Rabbanon, and you should not give him to eat the tevel of the Drabbanon, because since we're talking about Krishna, we're talking about leek is a vegetable. Vegetables are only chayv in Truma Samaisis midrabbanon. Now, he is saying the same halacha like Rabbah, that when you're talking about that, although we're allowed to violate an Isser, where in the case of Rabbah, it's talking about someone that has bulmas, he's a danger to his life. Here we're also talking about someone that's danger to his life, where he has a snake bit him. So they're both allowed to violate Isserim. However, they're both saying that we're going to violate the Rabbanon of being mafresh, Trumas and Maisan Shabbos, for another Drabbanon, which is something that's only Meiser, is only Tevel Drabbanon, which in the case that Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon is talking about Leek, which is only Chayv and Meiser Drabbanon. And Rabbah is also talking about a case of Drabbanon, which is talking about Atzit Shein and Akiv. But let's say that Rabbah is Veloy Rebbe, let's say that Rabbah is not like Rebbe, because it was like Rebbe, he says you don't have to take off Trumas and Meisers, you can go ahead and eat it in the state of Tevel Drabbanon. So it seems like that Rebbe's not like Rabbah, that is his opinion is like one of a machlekes in the Tanoim. Then the Gemara says, now, Philotemi Rebbe, you could say that Rabbah's even like Rebbe. Now, although Rebbe said that we don't violate, that we don't go ahead and be mafresh the Trumas and Meisers of the leek, which is a Tevel Drabbanon, and therefore you see that you would eat the Issur Drabbanon, but Rabbah's saying that you go ahead and mafresh Trumas and Meisers, and you go ahead and get chulin and not eat it the Tevel Drabbanon. So that the Gemara says, because Ad Kan Lekami Rebbe Hasam, Rebbe only said it in that case, El Inyan Maisi Yerik Drabbanon. You're right. As the question was asking, they're both talking about cases of Tevel Drabbanon, which you only have to take off Maisi rabbinically. However, Rebbe's talking about a case of vegetables that are only Chayv and Maisi Drabbanon, where you're never going to mix it up with Tevel Dereisa, because that's vegetables. Vegetables we know is always rabbinic. Aval B'Maisi Dagon, but regarding the grain type of meiser, where if the tevel is grain, the tevel deraisahu, which that essentially is a biblical requirement of tevel, of taking up trumas and meisers, afilu Rebbe Meida, even Rebbe would agree, even by a case of a atzit she'ena nakiv, even if it's a pot that has no hole, where its meiser is only rabbinically, the ish sharis lay ba'atzit she'ena nakiv, because if we allow him to eat it in its state of tevel, which is only rabbinic, he might come to eat the grain on Shabbos in a state of that it was not taken off Trumas and Meisers when there is a hole, which that means to say it might come to be confused with a case deraisa. That is, although that it's correct that Rebbe said that when you have two Rabbanans, there's no necessity to violate one Rabbanan to do another Rabbanan. So if you have leek over here, which you're allowed to cut off on Shabbos, because again, it's a danger to a person's life. However, although we try to do the least amount of Isra possible, but why would we go ahead and take off Trumas and Maisers from this leek and violating in that process one Rabbanan to not violate Tevel Rabbanan? So yes, that's what Rebbe says. Now, although Rabbah says that we are mafer Trumas and Maisers even by Atzit Shein and Akiv, which is violating one Rabbanan for a different Rabbanan, because Atzer Shein Nakav is only rabbinic, but it's a different type of rabbinic, because that Rabbanan is a concern for a deraisa. Because if we allow you to go ahead and eat it, grain growing from a pot that doesn't have a hole and it's not growing from the ground, then you might come to eat from it when it has a hole in the ground, which is actually biblically required. It's tevel deraisa. And there, even Rebbe would agree that yes, we'd rather have you violate one Rabbanan and not violate the other Rabbanan, because that other Rabbanan is a more stringent type Rabbanan. Because it's a Rabbanan that's exerted that shouldn't allow you to come to a deraisa. And since we're afraid that you might come to violate deraisa, we'd rather have you be man for shumas and maises, which is not out of concern for that of becoming to a deraisa, and not come to eat this tevel derabanan, which might actually come to a deraisa. Now the Gemara continues on the theme of our Mishnah regarding bulmas. Tarban win the braisa. Misha achze bulmas. Someone that has taken this illness of bulmas has taken hold of him. So what you do is machil noise dvash b'chol mini matika. You give him to eat honey and all different types of sweet things. Shadvash b'chol mini matika mi'erin ma'or einav shaladam. Because honey and all types of sweet things, they light up a person's eyes. It gives him back his soul. It restores his health. Now, v'av b'shein ra'i l'davar, although there's no proof to this concept, but zeichel l'davar, there's an allusion to this from a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, which talks about by Yohanesen, although his father Shaul had made a decree that no one should eat, that he made a fast, Yohanesen didn't know about it, and he said, Ru'una, look now, ki oiru einai, look, my eyes have lit up, ki ta'amti ma'at devash hazeh, because I've eaten a little bit of this honey, it has restored my health. Now the Gemara asks, my av p'shein ra'i l'davar? The Gemara asks, what does it mean that although there's no proof that there's an illusion, it seems to be pretty clear proof that honey restores a person's life. But the Gemara answers, because the hasam lav bulmas achse. He wasn't in a state of bulmas where he was dangerously ill. It was just that he was very hungry and that restored him. Therefore, though it's an illusion, there's no proof regarding the illness of bulmas. And as the Mefarshim explained, because if he had been in a state of bulmas, then there wouldn't have been a taina against him from Shaul that he ate on a day that was a fast, because it was in a state of danger to his life, of course he would have been able to eat. Now, Abaya qualifies this halacha that sweets restore a person to this, although he's in the state of dangerous hunger, if he eats the sweetness, it restores his life. So Abaya says, Lo yishonu ila la'achar achila. This was only said that after one has eaten, then the sweets and the honey restore his life. Avakoidim achila, but if he's going to be eating this honey and sweets before he eats a real meal, then migugar actually makes his hunger even greater. It draws him to want to eat more food, and it's not going to heal. The stuff like it says in the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it says that the yimtzu ish mitzri basa, that they found an Egyptian man in the field. V'yikchoyes el David, they took him to David. V'yidnu loy lechem ayochel, they gave him bread and he ate. V'yashku mayim, they gave him water to drink. V'yidnu loy felach devela, and they gave him a cake of pressed figs. Ushnei tzimukim vayochel, and two clusters of raisins and he ate it. V'atashav ruchay elav, and his spirit came back to him. Ki loy ochel lechem, b'leishosem mayim, shleisha yom v'shleisha leis, because he had not eaten eaten bread or drank water in 3 days and three nights. Now, the raya is that it first says, v'yoycha lechem, that first he ate bread, he ate a meal, and then it says, v'yitnu loy pelach devela, then they gave him this cake of pressed figs, they gave him the sweets and the honeys to show you that it only helps after one has eaten, then they restore a person to his ruach back to his body, but before eating, it's actually going to make him even hungrier. Amar Nachum Amar Shmuel. Misha achze bulmas. Again, if someone has this bulmas that's taken hold of him, machila noisei alya, we give him to eat the fatty tail of an animal, which is very fat, bidvash together with honey, and that restores him. Afun the bereder of Yeshua, he says, afsoilus niki bidvash, even refined flour with honey, that also does the job. And Rav Papa, he says, afalakimcha desar bidivsha, he says, even barley flour and honey. Now, Amr B'yechin B'yechin says that pamachas achazani bulmas, one time this bulmas took a hold of me, and I ran to the eastern part of the fig tree, where that's where the sun beats down on it from the morning up until noontime when the sun is in the east. And the sun crystallizes the sugar inside the fruit and makes it very sweet. By eating from that part of the fig tree, I fulfilled myself the pasuk in Keheles, that wisdom keeps its owners alive. By knowing this idea, I was able to keep myself alive. The Tanya is like a race of had taught, Haraitza litim, tam tein. If someone really wants to taste the real sweet taste of the fig, yifna lemizrachi, should go to the eastern part of the tree. Shanam, like it says, a pasuk in Devarim. Umimeged, which is the terminology of madanim, of delicacies, is tevui shemesh, are the fruits of the sun, because the sun makes the fruit sweet, And that was the idea that he knew, and that was the sweetness that restored his life from the bulimus that had taken a hold of him. Now the Gemara brings that story with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yasi, have a ka'azi ba'urcha. They were once going on the road together. Achzi bulimus Rabbi Yehuda. Bulimus took a hold of Rabbi Yehuda. He was in this dangerous hunger that took a hold of him. So kapchi l'raya, he forced and took the loaf of bread from a shepherd, and achal rifta, he ate that person's bread. So I'm like, Rabbi Yasi said to Rabbi Yehuda, kifachtes araya, you just stole that, you took over, and you forced the shepherd to eat his bread. Now, kimat l'masta, when they reached the city, achzi bulimus l'Rabbi Yasi. Bulimus took a hold of Rabbi Yasi. Now, hadru b'logi b'tzai. Now, the inhabitants of the city surrounded Rabbi Yasi with all these different pitchers full of honey and sweets and plates full of cooked dishes. Now, Omle Rabbi Yehuda now responded to Rabbi Yasi. He says, look, ani kafachti saray, yeah, I might have forced and taken the food from the shepherd, va'at kafachti sirkul, and now you went and took everyone's food from the entire city. Now, the Gemara says, v'su, and another time, Remeir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yasi, again, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yasi, now this time together with Remeir, have a ka'azi ba'urcha, another time they were going on the road. And this is related to a different type of halacha. Remeir have a doik bishma. Remeir would be precise regarding the name of the host, of the homeowner, if it was a fitting name or if it was not a fitting name, if it was appropriate or not. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yasi, live a doik bishma, they didn't pay so much attention to what the name of the homeowner was. Now, kimatu lahahu dauchta, when they came to a certain place, bayushbuza, they asked if they could stay there. Yavulei, and they were given the place to stay over there. Now, amaloi, they said to him, mashmech, what's your name? So amaloi, he told them, Kidur. Kidur was his name. Now, amaser, Remeir said, who he was very medaik about a person's name, says, shmamino adam rashu, you could tell that this person's the evil person. Shnema, like it says a pasuk in Devarim, it says, Kidur ta'apuchisem, because it's a generation of reversals that they are, which the pasuk there ends, banim loy emun bam. Their sons who are not trustworthy. Now, the word kidar is the words kidar, because as a generation was his name kidar. So he says, obviously he's a person like the pasuk ends, loy emun, he's not trustworthy. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yasi, ishlimu lekisayu, they gave this homeowner their purse because it was Erev Shabbos and they couldn't hold on to their purse anymore, so they gave it to the homeowner to hold on to it. Remeir loy ashlim lekisayu, Remeir did not give him his purse, he thought he was a Rasha. Rather, azul eitzvi bekivri davu, he went and put it by the burial plot of this homeowner's father who was buried nearby. Now, ischazi lebechelmi, the father who was dead, where Remeir had buried his purse, came to the homeowner in his dream. And he told him, "Toshokul kisa de manach arish du gaver, come take the purse that's laying by my head." By that person, a reference to himself. He's telling his son, "Look, Remeir put the purse. Go ahead and take it." Now, lamacher amalehu. The following morning, after this person had the dream, he came to the three talmid chachamim who were staying by him, Remeir, Behuda, Yasi. He said, "Hachi is chazili b'chamoy. This is what I had a dream of." Now, amrele, they told him, "Oh, chelma de beishimshi, a dream by twilight on Friday night." Less bumasha mamasha. It has no substance, and that they were telling him because a person, he's calm then, because he doesn't have to work, and therefore his mind starts wandering, and he sees all these interesting dreams. But really, Remeir's intention was to push him off. He didn't want him to go ahead and steal his money there that he had buried. And therefore, azul Remeir v'natre kuliyayma. So Remeir went the whole day, and it was Shabbos, he couldn't take it, but he stood the guard to watch it that no one should take it. And then after Shabbos, he went and brought it back. Now, Lamacher, the following day, when they wanted to take leave, Amru Loi, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yasi, who they had deposited their purse with this person, they told them, Havlan Kisan, give us our purses. So Amalahu, he said to them, Lahoid Var Mi'olam, like in short, it's called Lahadam, never happened. You never gave me a purse to watch. So Amalahu, Remeir said to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yasi, he says, Amai Loi Dai Kisu Bishma, why weren't you particular about his name? You look at his name, Kidar, it's Kidar Tapuches. You knew he was a bad person. So Amalei, they said to Remeir back, Amai lo amartan on mar. Why didn't you tell us? You knew that he's a bad person and you saw us depositing. Why didn't you tell us not to? So Amalehu, Remeir said to them, look, Eimu da amri ano chashasha. When did I say that you have to look at a name and I was able to tell that it's a bad person is to be suspicious of such a person? Achzuki mi amri, did I say that for sure he's a wicked person? I don't know based on his name that definitely he's bad. It's just you have to suspect about him. And therefore, I couldn't tell you not to. I couldn't. It would be in the category of possibly of Lashon Hara. This is not something that I knew for sure. It's just you have to suspect. That's why I was suspicious, but I couldn't tell you that not to go ahead and deposit. Now, so what did they do? Mashchuhu v'ayluhu lechanusa. They went, they pulled him, they brought him to the salon, to the store where they sell wine. And as the Bach adds the words, ashkiyuhu chamer, they gave him wine to drink. Now, chazu tlofche asfame. They saw that there were lentils on his mustache. So now they went and gave a sign to his wife. They told her, look, your husband told us you should give us our purses, our wallets. And we'll prove to you that he told us this because we know that you ate lentils for supper. And they were trying to show her that, look, your husband told us that. How would we know what you ate for supper? But they only know because he had the lentils on his mustache. So they took their purses and they came and they showed him, look at this, you're a liar. Your wife just gave back the purses we had deposited with you. So he went home and he murdered his wife. So the Gemara says, this that we learned in the Braisa. Because a person neglected the first washing, which one is supposed to wash before he eats a meal of bread, that made a person eat the meat of a chazer, of a pig. And that, Rashi says, alludes to a story that there was once a Jewish inn that he used to sell to Jews kosher meat, which is more expensive, and therefore only for Jews would he sell the kosher meat. But for non-Jews, he would give them the meat of chazer that he had cooked. Now one time, there was a Jew that came to the inn, and he saw that he wasn't washing the tefillah sidayim when he came to sit down to eat. So therefore, he figured he's a non-Jew, so he gave him basar chazer. And later on, it was revealed to that person that he ate chazer meat, because the person said, look, I thought you weren't Jewish because you didn't wash the tefillah sidayim. And that's what it says in the Braisa, that the neglect of Mayim Rishonim made a person eat Basar Chazer. And Mayim Achreinim, by neglecting to wash Mayim Achreinim, which a person is supposed to wash his hands after he finishes a meal, before he benches, was Hargues HaNefesh, caused a person to be killed, which in this case was the wife of this homeowner, because had he washed Mayim Achreinim. Now as Rashi says, it's normative to a person when he washes Mayim Achreinim and his hands are a little moist to then wipe his mustache with that moist hands, then his lentils would not have been visible, and this story would not have came about because they would never have known that he had eaten lentils to then go ahead and tell the wife and then cause her to be murdered by her husband. And again, that was the idea, but a person has to be careful with Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achreinim. Now the Gemara continues this story and says, "Ulbasayif have a daiki bishma." Later on, when they learned their lesson, Rabbi Yishmael Yehuda, they were particular about the homeowner's name, like Remeir was. And therefore, kimatu lahu besa the shmei bala. Once they came to the house of someone on their road, when they were continued going, that the homeowner's name was bala loyaylu legabe. They didn't enter his home. Amri, they said shmamina rashu. Obviously, he's a wicked person. They said, like it says, a pasuk nicheskel va'omer. And I said la bala niufim, that the person is worn out from adultery, and that is, as the Gemara says in parentheses, which others say was added later, k'moy, like the pasuk says in Bereishis, that achri v'loisi, that Sarah said that after I'm worn out, hoishli edna, I'm going to become young again. K'loymer, in other words, it means zikena bin ufim. It means, in the context of the pasuk in Yecheskel, it means that bala means worn out, means that a person became old, because that's what Sarah was saying, that after I got old, I'm going to become young again, I'm going to have a child, I'm going to nurse a child. And that's the context of this pasuk, v'oymer la bala, that I said that it's for someone that was worn out, that a person gets old from adulterous types of behaviors. However, what they were saying was that if his name is Bala, you see that the term Ni'ufim is related to him, must be this is a person that's an adulterer, he's a rush, he's a wicked person, and therefore they didn't enter his home, and that because they had learned the lesson to be Daik Bishma, to be particular about the person's name, and therefore not enter his home.